and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Supreme Court today takes arguments on the legality of the charges brought against January 6th insurrectionists.
Federal prosecutors have charged more than 300 people with obstructing an official proceeding, including Donald Trump. Today, the High Court will hear arguments over whether the obstruction law has been properly applied. It was passed in 2002 as part of the Sarbanes-Oxley financial reforms. Defense attorneys say it applies to documents and congressional investigations. Federal prosecutors say it can and should be read to cover the riot that delayed the counting of electoral votes. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
Jury selection resumes today for Donald Trump's hush money trial in New York City. Not a single juror was chosen on Monday. The New York Yankees announced that health concerns are spurring the immediate departure of 85-year-old longtime radio play-by-play announcer John Sterling. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A statue honoring the first black woman elected to statewide office in Wisconsin is going up in front of the state capitol building in Madison this summer. The project got final approval Friday. Vell Phillips was elected Wisconsin's Secretary of State in 1978. The O.J. Simpson murder trial 30 years ago had a lasting impact on the way Americans consume news. Commentators became a fixture of trial coverage, and they're still used to interpret current events to this day.
It also meant that people could suspend their critical thinking to a certain extent. And I believe we're still seeing that today. The rise of social media has only made it easier.
Jane Kirkley teaches media studies at the University of Minnesota. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks prepare for the playoffs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks holding practice sessions, getting ready for game one of their best of seven playoff series against the Indiana Pacers. Did the Bucks take their foot off the gas in their loss to Orlando, knowing they would host game one in Milwaukee? Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
Somewhat, but a little different. You know, listen, we didn't play well down the stretch. Had a lot of stuff going on. And then mentally, I just think, you know, when you know you're in, you know you got home court. I don't think that we handled that very well. And we just got to keep playing until we get to the fourth round.
Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Padres 7-3. It's the first time this season Milwaukee's lost two games in a row. Starting pitcher Joe Ross held San Diego to just one run until things fell apart in the fifth.
I was sick the way that happened just because Ross is throwing the ball so well. You know, broken bat hit, loop hit, infield hit.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Tuesday, I'm joined by comedian actor Rick Overton and WRJN morning host Don Rosen. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thunderstorms with heavy rain likely this afternoon, tonight into tomorrow. We could get an inch to an inch and a half or more of rain by the time everything winds down on Wednesday. It's also going to be colder and very windy today. Our high 56, wind out of the east, gusting to between 40 and 50 here through today. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 50.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Letting someone else live their life in a way that you may not agree with, guess what? That's American. That's what we get to do here. We don't get to place our religious beliefs in a position of governmental endorsement so that we can exclude others from our educational systems, from our boardrooms. That ain't American. It isn't the Wisconsin that I know either.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, this is Aaron from the Todd Allbaugh Show. Todd's on his way back from Milwaukee. So for the next show, we'll be back here in Madison covering the news of the day and more on the Todd Allbaugh Show from noon to 2.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
From her mouth to the field's ears, this is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Oh, this warm, dry weather has been just what Wisconsin farmers were hoping for. We've got some corn in the ground in southwest Wisconsin. We've got potatoes planted in the central sands. And we've got some oats that have been sown across the state. Welcome in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Youngke on a Tuesday morning. And that's just one of the conversations we'll be bringing your way. Latest planting progress report and what farmers are noting as far as weather conditions. And those weather conditions are going to start changing probably about mid-morning today in the La Crosse area and later this afternoon for all the rest of Wisconsin. In that La Crosse area, you are going to notice the winds today out of the east gusting up to 24 miles per hour. Your rain starts showing up probably about 3 o'clock this afternoon. In the Madison area, a little earlier, probably about 1 o'clock, the rains are going to come in, and we're going to feel gusty winds up to 23 miles an hour, 25 miles an hour out of the east southeast. The rain will bring with it some thunderstorm activity through the overnight hours. Same situation in the Milwaukee area. You've got gale force winds that are going to be coming in off the lakeshore. Your rain is probably going to start probably around the drive time home, about 4 o'clock, and then the thunderstorms, the wind, that starts kicking in at about 7 o'clock tonight. Like I said, winds noticeable for everybody coming out of the east, southeast, gusting up to 25 miles an hour with gusts that may be more. We're catching up with John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend this morning as well. And it's getting to be about that time of the year. Maybe you've got a graduate in your household, graduating from high school, graduating from college. What's that job market looking like? Stephanie Hoff is going to share what she found with us. And you might be surprised, especially if you kick it old school like me. When I got out of school, I had bills to pay, and that was kind of my primary focus. A little bit different set of priorities for today's graduate. She's got some of that information on the way. Speaking about wanting to know what's going on in the job market, our Wisconsin 4-H Association wants to know what you business employers, you agribusiness employers, have to say about the job market. Jill Jorgensen is one of our University Extension 4-H specialists. She's out of Green Bay, and she is helping to conduct a survey that's taking a closer look at the skill set that 4-H members gain through their activities and how it translates to being good employees for future jobs. Business people, agribusiness, she wants to hear from you.
Yeah, Pam. So we really wanted to understand how we could prepare our young people with those great life skills they gain in 4-H for the needs of our businesses across Wisconsin in food, agriculture, forestry, and related businesses. We really wanted to know that we were hitting the mark and helping our young people really be prepared to launch into that next phase of life after high school.
I guess it's the first time I ever thought about 4-H as a resume building skill, but I guess now that I just hear you say that, it makes perfect sense. Is that something that has been promoted in the past as part of 4-H? I mean, I think a lot of us are about, you know, exhibiting at the county fair, 4-H camp, maybe some of those 4-H leadership experiences. The recruiting aspect, is that something relatively new that we're trying to reveal?
You know, I think for a long time, we've been building life skills in 4-H. And so life skills are those building blocks that all 4-H members, no matter the project they're taking, if you're showing horses, if you're doing woodworking, if you're doing leadership and camp counseling, like you mentioned, I think you, in the moment you're doing those things and you're building those great leadership skills, you're building great knowledge, and you're building those great life skills. And I think helping our young people think through how they're building those life skills and how that translates to that next phases of life is something that we're, you know, really across the nation in 4-H, really trying to help young people understand, like, hey, you've been doing these amazing things with your project. This is how it relates to the next phase of your career and future endeavors.
Interesting, interesting. Now, we're soliciting responses primarily from, as you mentioned, those business folks, companies that are out there that would welcome those quality 4-H members, 4-H alumni into the fold. Tell me a little bit about the survey specific. And like I said, I know it's not just about Wisconsin.
Yeah, so the survey is about 10 minutes long. It's an online survey, so easily accessible for everyone. And it really looks at what are businesses looking for job recruitment practices, retention, and training needs in those industries. As I mentioned, food, agriculture, forestry, and those related businesses. We really are interested in helping figure out what is that great meeting point where we can help our young people to be prepared for meeting those needs and help the businesses gain that really great young workforce that, you know, 4-H members come with.
Do most businesses know about 4-H as a potential, I guess, pipe of employees? I'm just wondering, this sounds like it might be a two-way educational experience.
You know, Pam, I always hope when employers see 4-H on a young person's resume that they know that that young person is coming with some really great life skills, leadership skills, the ability to communicate well and work well with others. And I hope, and you know, if not, maybe we need to make sure that we send that message out loud and proud, because our 4-H members, wow, I know that when they go into workforces that they're coming prepared with some really great life skills and some really great skills to help them be prepared for those future jobs and careers.
If you're just joining us, this is Jill Jorgensen. She's one of our 4-H Extension Youth Specialists, and she's focused in on a survey that is designed to capture what employers would like to see from 4-H as far as foundational elements for those good quality employees. And like we said, Jill, we already know that a lot of that comes naturally through existing 4-H programming. Is this designed to create new items of programming, or what are we hoping might be the ultimate outcome from this survey?
Yeah, so that might be some new programs that we can contribute, like based off of that survey data. And it might be just taking those programs that we have that are really good long-term existing programs and providing some tweaks to them, like ways that we can improve to make sure that we're hitting those benchmarks and those needs, or even really helping our young people understand, like, hey, here are some of the things that you're currently doing, and here's how that relates to the needs that are currently in industry, and making sure that we create that really good and intentional connection for them.
I noticed that some of the questions are about technologies, for example, automation. Is that part of your business, something you see growing? And you're also asking businesses how they've already interacted with 4-H, which I think is different, or how they've already, what they've already done as far as outreach.
Yeah, you know, technology is something that is going to be changing and evolving and adapting. And I think our, you know, industries, as young people are looking to move more towards that area or may have some specialties in that area, it's always a really great opportunity for those young people to maybe think about some of these industries in a way they haven't before. I think that agriculture, food, forestry is such a vast area, and there's so many different types of careers that are available that young people don't always realize that there's these vast components that they could be a part of, and that the things that they're learning and they love might fit really well into one of those sectors. So I think that really kind of hits on where they are and maybe where they want to go, and helping them find that path to maybe working towards that for the future.
Well, and that is one of the key items that I want to stress to everybody. Don't think that because this survey is about feedback for 4-H that it's all about agriculture. You've got a lot of different categories that businesses can choose from.
Absolutely. Everything from, you know, production agriculture, as we talked about, to food and beverage manufacturing, wood products, ag-related, you know, inputs. So machinery, chemicals, even veterinarians, wholesalers, our family farms, our large industries. We want to hear from them all. And I think that's going to have a really robust way for our young people in Wisconsin and across the Midwest to learn more about what are some of those great things that these businesses are really looking for in skills with their employees.
Jill Jorgensen's along with us. We're talking about a 4-H survey that I would love for our Wisconsin businesses to jump online and complete. It is designed for ages 18 and higher. Somebody that is kind of in charge of looking for workforce strength. And what's the deadline and what's the goal as far as number, Jill, that ultimately you'd like to see?
Yeah, we'd love to have our survey numbers completed by the end of April. And we're looking for 300 unique surveys so that we can have some great Wisconsin-level data that we're going to be able to look at for the future.
All right, then let's help her get that done. That's Jill Jorgensen. She is a Wisconsin Youth Development 4-H Animal Science and Ag Outreach Specialist up in Green Bay, trying to get the word out about this 4-H survey that we need businesses and agribusinesses to fill out before the end of the month. It'll take you less than 10 minutes. You can actually skip to the end if some of the questions do not pertain to you or your business. And I've got details up right now at MidwestFarmReport.com. You can listen to my conversation with Jill all over again, and more importantly, the QR code that will take you to the survey, as well as a hot link, all available right there. Like she said, they'd like to try to get it done before the end of April. Coming up, John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live this morning. Stephanie Hoff taking a closer look at the job market for this year's graduates. And it's got some interesting trends you might want to pay attention to. And just around the corner, Ashley Hagenow, our current Alice in Dairyland. She's now facing the final few weeks as she gets ready to hand the baton over to one of six finalists that will be announced the front part of May in Door County. How is she doing with all that? We're talking with her next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. An emergency fund is a special kind of savings you set aside for emergencies and emergencies only. Who should have one? Everybody. And why should you have one? In a word, security. Did you know that today, more than half of the adults in America, 147 million of us, can't even afford a $1,000 emergency? I recommend socking away at least $1,000 and eventually building up to 3 to 6 months of household expenses. You want to keep your emergency fund somewhere easy to access, like a savings account, and not in the stock market, thank you very much. Look, we can't avoid bad things happening, but we can work to make sure that when that never gonna happen to me thing does happen to one of us, we are as financially prepared as we can be. That's today's Work Money Minute. For more everyday money help, check out Work Money Media on YouTube or text MONEY to 88285. That's MONEY to 88285. Till next time, take good care.
The Todd Alba Show.
Luke, I'm just going to say it again. The real problem here was that goofy in-season soccer tournament that they had. That threw everything off.
What are you talking about? That was December basketball. You just couldn't figure out the rules.
You're exactly
Todd.
Right. There are goofy rules I couldn't figure out. I don't like them.
You would not do well with driving on the left-hand side of the road.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely
you would just start freaking out. Yeah.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Tuesday morning on Up North News Radio, the importance of helping Wisconsin farmers find and keep good export customers without political interference.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Colleges right on through to apprenticeships. High, high demand for the graduates out there. We're going to kind of keep a focus on that, not just today, but also tomorrow. Stephanie Hoff visited with the dean of UW River Falls on where he's seeing students go and what they're getting. Stick around for that. I'm Pam Yankee, by the way. Tickled to have you along with us. Also, tickled to remind you that it's now just a couple weeks away. The final phase of interviews for six young women that want to be our next Alice in Dairyland, the agriculture ambassador for all of our agriculture in the state. Current Alice in Dairyland, Ashley Hagenow, is kind of counting down the days before she'll have to relinquish the responsibilities. And so far, she says she's staying busy and on the road.
So far this year, serving as Alice in Dairyland, I'm about 8 months in to my year of service. I have put on almost 40,000 miles traveling across Wisconsin. And every year, Alice puts on anywhere between 45,000 to 50,000 miles promoting Wisconsin agriculture. So I still have a lot of travels ahead of me. And I'm really excited to see what that ending mile count is at the end of this year.
Now, plus, she's had some international exposure as well. Ashley Hagenow, our current Alice in Dairyland. And, you know, it is time to look in the rearview mirror and at least start pulling together some thoughts on what's been most rewarding for her.
Some of my most rewarding experiences come from the day-to-day of serving as Alice in Dairyland, and especially being able to impact the next generation of consumers and of agriculturists. Whenever I have the chance to get into a classroom, whether it's with kindergarten students or maybe fourth and fifth grade students especially, I love when I get a hug from students after our presentation and after our time together. And I love the chance to see them make connections to agriculture. That's what keeps me going each and every day, is having the chance to be that connection to agriculture as Alice in Dairyland, and specifically impacting the next generation of consumers who will continue to enjoy Wisconsin products.
I don't know how they keep the smile on their face, every one of them, and especially Ashley Hagenow, who I've known since she was a wee tot. She is now just in the final phase of serving as Alice. Now, remember, Ashley will stay in the position of Alice in Dairyland even after they announce the next Alice on May 4th in Door County. Ashley will stay on the job into June, so as not to force one of the brand new Alices into service too early before they truly understand their position. And if she's got a memory so far, here it is.
So I had the chance to travel internationally this year with the Ginseng Board of Wisconsin, and that was the first time in over 20 to 25 years that Alice had traveled internationally to promote Wisconsin agriculture. So we traveled to Taiwan and mainland China to promote Wisconsin ginseng and Wisconsin agriculture, and it was a true honor to represent Wisconsin in our travels and have the chance to meet consumers across the world who value Wisconsin ginseng and other Wisconsin products.
Ashley Hagenow, our current Alice in Dairyland. And in fact, she mentioned ginseng. There's ginseng representatives that are in Indonesia right now. Indonesia, India. I got to check my notes. They're going to be back on Friday, and we'll be talking with them as well. Ashley Hagenow, what a sweetie. Our current Alice in Dairyland. Back with weather details in a moment.
What do you look for in a lending partner? Someone who supports smart decision-making for your farm or ranch, agribusiness, investment, or community. Someone who values relationships. Someone who, when you face adversity, looks you in the eyes and says, "We are here." Find the lending partner you're looking for at Compere Financial. Visit Compere.com to get started today. Compere Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.
To help take care of your egg operation, you're going to need the brand that you call One Tough Animal. Bobcat Plus, they carry new and used Bobcat equipment and also feature a full service department, parts, rental, so there's no need to worry about downtime. Skid steer loaders, mini excavators, utility vehicles, and so much more. There's a Bobcat Plus location just down the road. Eau Claire, Butler, Appleton, and De Pere. Those chores around the farm just got a lot easier. Stop in or visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat, One Tough Animal.
All righty. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, on vacation this week. I've got to tell you, for folks that are along the lakeshore, Calumet, Manitowoc, Winnebago, Brown, Kewaunee, Outagamie, and Wapaka counties, you've got a wind advisory coming up this afternoon that could surprise you. Out of the east, winds gusting 20 to 25 miles per hour, up to 45 miles per hour. That is one of the issues that we're facing starting later this afternoon into the evening hours. The chance of severe weather looks like it's going to be south of Madison, probably along the Illinois line, and they are not counting out the possibility of tornadic activities tonight as well. The rain looks like it's going to start moving in later this afternoon. Not a lot as far as total measurability, but you know how it can be, isolated in some areas. So you rainfall reporters, I need you to make sure that you're on the job So we'll have some random reports tomorrow morning. Again, daytime highs today, not as warm as it was yesterday, probably topping out at around 64, but that'll be later this afternoon. Little cooler start this morning with temperatures in the upper 50s, and it may not matter because, like I said, we are all looking at gusty winds for the duration of our Tuesday. Just a quick weather update for you to prepare you for the day.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
A fourth-generation family-owned business is running strong thanks in part to Wisconsin cheese. Dufek Wood Products calls Denmark home and has been based in Northeast Wisconsin for close to 120 years. It's best known for manufacturing boxes, which are food-safe to age and ship wheels of cheese and can be reused. But another Dufek Wood product is getting attention thanks to the Guinness Book of World Records. Do you think it's the family's wine boxes, organic garden mulch, or charcuterie boards? The answer coming up. Winter logging for summer building supplies is how the Dufek started. Manufacturing shifted by 1912 to other wood products, especially those cheese boxes. So did you guess which wood product is getting attention from the Guinness Book of World Records? It's the Dufek's charcuterie boards, with one recently named the largest ever, holding more than 760 pounds of gourmet cheese. That's one huge slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny.
I wonder what Matt Damon's mom would say when it comes to teaching science to little kids.
Wait, what? You want to know what my mom would say? All right, well, just ask her.
And there she is, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. Welcome to Busted Pencils. Nancy, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. It's great to see you. It's great to be here.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Who do you want making the decisions for your daughters if you're a girl dad? I have two girls, 14 and 12, and I still consider myself pro-life. But here's the thing. I became a conservative because I didn't want government telling me what to do and being intrusive in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'll be damned if I want a bunch of theocrats getting in the middle of my daughter's life.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Supreme Court today takes arguments on the legality of the charges brought against January 6th insurrectionists.
Federal prosecutors have charged more than 300 people with obstructing an official proceeding, including Donald Trump. Today, the High Court will hear arguments over whether the obstruction law has been properly applied. It was passed in 2002 as part of the Sarbanes-Oxley financial reforms. Defense attorneys say it applies to documents and congressional investigations. Federal prosecutors say it can and should be read to cover the riot that delayed the counting of electoral votes. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
Jury selection resumes today for Donald Trump's hush money trial in New York City. Not a single juror was chosen on Monday. The New York Yankees announced that health concerns are spurring the immediate departure of 85-year-old longtime radio play-by-play announcer John Sterling. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A statue honoring the first black woman elected to statewide office in Wisconsin is going up in front of the state capitol building in Madison this summer. The project got final approval Friday. Vell Phillips was elected Wisconsin's Secretary of State in 1978. The O.J. Simpson murder trial 30 years ago had a lasting impact on the way Americans consume news. Commentators became a fixture of trial coverage, and they're still used to interpret current events to this day.
It also meant that people could suspend their critical thinking to a certain extent
And I believe we're still seeing that today. The rise of social media has only made it easier.
Jane Kirtley teaches media studies at the University of Minnesota.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks prepare for the playoffs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks holding practice sessions, getting ready for game one of their best of seven playoff series against the Indiana Pacers. Did the Bucks take their foot off the gas in their loss to Orlando, knowing they would host game one in Milwaukee? Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
Somewhat, but a little different. You know, listen, we didn't play well down the stretch. Had a lot of stuff going on. And then mentally, I just think, you know, when you know you're in, you know you got home court. I don't think that we handled that very well. And we just got to keep playing until we get to the fourth round.
Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Padres 7-3. It's the first time this season Milwaukee's lost two games in a row. Starting pitcher Joe Ross held San Diego to just one run until things fell apart in the fifth.
I was sick the way that happened just because Ross is throwing the ball so well. You know, broken bat hit, bloop hit, infield hit.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Thunderstorms with heavy rain likely this afternoon, tonight into tomorrow. We could get an inch to an inch and a half or more of rain by the time everything winds down on Wednesday. It's also going to be colder and very windy today. Our high 56, wind out of the east, gusting to between 40 and 50 here through today. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 50.
Matt and Air on Air.
Welcoming Arizona to the 1860s. Arizona's highest court upheld an 1864 law. Physicians are now on notice that all abortions, except those necessary to save a woman's life, are illegal. When do we decide she is sick enough or close enough to death that I need to do this procedure to save her life? None of that is codified.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm really excited right now because I've wanted to have this guy on for a while. He is a legendary stand-up comedian. You know him as Tom Dreesen. Tom, welcome to Nightlight.
Pete, it's nice to talk to you. Let me tell you how I became a legend. All my critics are dead.
Did you have anything to do with that? Don't say anything, Tom.
No, I refuse to answer on the grounds it might incriminate me. I'll plead the fifth on that.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. bust in pencils.
We'll keep talking about it because it is an important thing happening in our world and in our culture, whether you're in education or in any field. It's part of your day-to-day right now. Like, hey, what's the role AI is going to play in this?
We give every assignment the kids turn in, we put it through AI detectors. There's no ability for a student to opt out of the surveillance.
Busted Pencils, weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Okay.
She's sweeter than a glass of chocolate milk and louder than a morning rooster. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Like I mentioned earlier, we do have some possible severe weather rolling our way. Could start as soon as early this afternoon in the Madison area, maybe around 2 o'clock when thunderstorms and the winds really kick in. The La Crosse area, you're probably looking at it more like 4 o'clock. And the Milwaukee area, you're probably going to start seeing the thunderstorms about 7 o'clock tonight. I'm not sure that we're going to get a lot of measurable rain out of this, but we do have some gale force winds that are going to be along the lakeshore. So keep that in mind. Rainfall reporters, you are on task. Keep in mind, whenever you can get those rainfall reports to me, the way that you send them to me is via our talk text line. And that number is 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Anytime that you want to share something with me, a story idea, you've got a question about something we're discussing, never hesitate to use that talk text line and talk directly with us. Alrighty, so on this day in 1964, the Rolling Stones released their debut album here in the United States. Kind of funny that they added a title, England's Newest Hitmakers, to the front of that album to try to drive sales. They debuted on this day back in 1964, and the Stones still around. On this day in 2003, 10 new member states were admitted to the European Union, and that included the countries of Poland, Cyprus, and the Czech Republic. Happy birthday to comedian actor Martin Lawrence, 59 years young, and now you know. Well, hey, we want you to know we recognize a lot of you are all excited about the end of the school year. Maybe it's a graduating senior. Maybe it's a graduating college student. Families are getting ready to celebrate. And you know what? Stephanie Hoff tells me this morning there is a lot to celebrate if you're getting ready to enter the job market. Plenty of opportunities out there. How are you making a decision on which job to accept? That's where Stephanie finds an interesting story to share.
The excitement on the UW River Falls campus is palpable as seniors wrap up their last semester and prepare to accept their diplomas. The news from the College of Agriculture, Food, and Environmental Sciences is that the job market for these grads is looking good. We catch up with College Dean Michael Orth. He tells us where the numbers are trending for agriculture students entering the workforce.
I think the graduation rate is in terms of the numbers, are fairly steady. So really, after COVID, our college numbers had gone down, but I think we've basically topped that off, and I think we're heading back up. So I think really our graduation numbers are, for at least from what I have been told earlier, are pretty comparable to what we've had in the past.
Are there majors that stand out compared to others in the ag program?
The biggest one by far is the animal science. In fact, they will graduate more students than any other program. So animal science, pre-vet, companion animal, that group is the biggest on campus.
I am curious what the job market looks like for today's graduates. You know, the headlines have always said that Wisconsin is in a workforce shortage. Does that mean it's been easy for students to land a job?
Actually, yes. Here in the Ag Science Building, we have an internship kind of wall where we post internships. It's completely full. Like, we have more internships than we have students. And if you think about an internship, in fact, I was just talking to a company today basically, when they're doing an internship, it's basically a longer-term job interview. It's an on-site job interview. I mean, most places that do an internship are hoping that potentially that student would work there. So if you even use that as a barometer, our students have zero issues finding jobs in the ag areas. There's plenty of them out there.
Is that across all ag areas, or do you see certain sectors of the industry in more demand than others?
I would say, okay, just, again, this is anecdotal here. Animal, plant, nurse sciences, those are ag engineering, ag tech, I would say they're all really robust. The only one maybe, and I say maybe, might be in the ag econ area. That might not be quite as strong as some of the other ones, but that would be it. But even there, I haven't heard of students having any issues. The plant, the crops, the soil, the animal side, the equipment side, all of those areas are very strong. In fact, even companies, again, I was talking to this company today, technically they're not looking for anybody, but technically they're always looking for somebody. If they have an internship, if there's a good student, they will try to hire them. There are students here that they could have multiple offers when they graduate. It is a really good market.
I mean, if you could ballpark it, how many of your ag students do you think have a job already before graduation?
I wouldn't be surprised if it's over 90%. A lot of these kids already do. Having said that, too, there are some that are going to go to graduate school, some that are going to go to vet school, some that may be going back to work on the farm. I don't know. But the number has got to be very, very high at this point. Absolutely. A lot of it goes back to those internships, right? Let's say last summer they did an internship, they like it, they get a job offer, you know, they pretty much are locked in, you know, by the time they graduate.
What do you think that industry is looking for in a hire, maybe compared to years past?
One of the things that I think come to the forefront maybe more so, they are looking for people with a lot of those interpersonal skills and leadership skills, right? You know, a lot of them companies will say, hey, I can teach you what you need to know. But what I want to know is how well could you work with, like, say, a client? How well can you handle conflict that might come up? What are your leadership qualities? How have you demonstrated those? What they're looking for are what are the people skills like that these individuals have?
And he says this group of graduates is cut out for the job.
This group is a resilient group, right? Because you're talking about students now that either had just started or relatively recent relative to COVID. So this group is, you know, started with some stress, but they've come through, they weathered the storm, so to speak, and they're graduating. I think they're well prepared. I think the fact that they've gone through and, you know, where the job market is, it's just great timing for them.
Good news from the UW River Falls campus. Michael Orth is the dean of the College of Agriculture, Food, and Environmental Sciences. Excited to see what this next batch of graduates does in the workforce. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
To help elevate Wisconsin's dairy industry, Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin has not only upheld our state's reputation for superior cheese, but they've also amplified our presence across the world. Ken Hyman, owner of Nasonville Dairy in Marshfield, shares what he's excited for the future of the dairy industry thanks to your checkoff dollars.
I see new products because we're seeing products all over the world. And as they keep coming here, as we have people who travel the world, they bring a lot of these taste things home, and this is what they're looking for. And they will pay to get that done. So what we have is we have all new products. You know, we're looking for new consumers, both here and worldwide. And we can be competitive in the world. It's all about creating demand. And honestly, Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin has done a really good job in allowing some of the smaller plants to be able to become a specialty, be able to become a lot of these niche markets that are so important to keep all of our dairy farmers alive here in Wisconsin.
To learn more, check out wisconsindairy.org.
Wisconsin farmers have definitely been capitalizing on the dry, warm weather we enjoyed over the weekend and yesterday as well. Now, with the rain in the forecast, things may change a little bit, but here's what we know so far. According to the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service, as of Sunday across the state, we had about 10% of our oats that already were in the ground. That's 5 days ahead of last year, 1 day ahead of our five-year average. In the central portion of Wisconsin, 11% of our potatoes are already in the ground. That's 6 days ahead of last year, as well as the average. 12% of our spring tillage work is done. That's a week ahead of last year. Our winter wheat condition, that is 65% good as of Sunday, 13% excellent. Everybody's still kind of keeping an eye on what's going on with soil moisture levels. According to the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service, 65% of the state reporting adequate topsoil moisture and 60% adequate subsoil moisture. Just to let you know what's going on there. Talking markets with John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, in just a moment. Can tell you this morning, so far, Dow Jones Industrial Average is back in the red ink. Right now, down more than 20 points. And it's carrying with it our corn and soybeans. December new crop corn's down a penny and a half, 467 and three quarters. November beans, unchanged right now at 1167. July wheat, that's also unchanged, currently at 567 a bushel. Yesterday, no change on barrel cheese or AA butter prices. The 40-pound block cheese gained 3.25 cents yesterday to 156 and three quarters on the day. Class 3 fluid milk for May. That goes to cheese, up 14 cents right now at $17 a hundredweight. The June Class 3 milk up 8 at $17.32 a hundredweight. All right, coming up next, our friend John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, going to give us an overview on what the market's talking about and what kind of risk management you might want to think about already today. Stick around.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on Lake Air 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WLAK. And on the Civic Media app.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
The drive in the marketplace. John, I got to ask you, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has caught my attention since last Friday. I think it dropped more than 500 points. Wasn't real healthy yesterday either. Is this all about the Israel-Iran situation, or are there other headlines out there? I know my phone blew up this morning. China apparently had a better earnings report or better economic performance than we'd been led to believe. What's the newsmakers this morning?
Yeah. So
for addressing that China story, the China GDP numbers came out last night, and they were running a little bit better than everybody anticipated. And, you know, again, numbers coming out of China, sometimes they're, you take it with a grain of salt in terms of how truthful they are. But year over year, 5.3%. The market was thinking 4.6% GDP on the quarter, 1.6% versus a 1.4% estimate. You know, so that was one of the encouraging things. At least came out in the, on the overnight, retail sales were still below estimates, and industrial growth was below estimates, but GDP was up. So somewhere they're spending some money in that regard, probably more in the stimulus that they've been putting together, trying to kind of fire up their economy a little bit. But, you know, addressing that question on the stock market or the equity markets, yeah, we've seen a heck of a turnover on the Dow. You know, first April, we were pushing 40,000 plus on the futures here. Now we're down to 38,000 here in a matter of a handful of days or a couple of weeks of time. Some of that was tied to the inflation data. When that inflation data started running a little bit hotter than the market was anticipating, you know, the thought that the Fed was going to cut interest rates was pretty heavy in the market. Now that's kind of getting pushed back because of the stronger inflation numbers, you know, and that, and when interest rates get cut, that brings free money into the marketplace. The market was pricing that in. And when that disappeared from the table, the money came back out. Now, obviously, throw in the Middle East and what's happening there. That just brings some caution into the marketplace. You know, this is a spot where you see some risk off trade. And the equity markets was a hot market. And that was one of the reasons why we've seen the pullback, is just some of that risk off fear of what could possibly happen if things were to really escalate overseas.
Well, and that's obviously one of those developing stories that can change on an hourly basis. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, along with us. His website, totalfarmmarketing.com. And if you ever want to call John, do that. 800-334-9779. 800-334-9779. Let's pivot towards agriculture then, John. The latest planting progress report out. Doesn't look like anybody's necessarily suffering right now.
No, we're off to a good start, obviously, in terms of, you know, where we are in the first few weeks of planting. We got 6% of the corn crop in the ground here, and that's a little bit ahead of schedule, at least according to what the market was anticipating, you know, what we saw last year. And on top of that, you know, we typically by the end of April, we're about 17% planted on the corn crop nationally. Now, we got a pretty good weather system coming through this week, so we'll have to see how that plays out. A lot of rain on the radar. We're hitting areas that really need it. Western Iowa, moving in the north central Iowa and the southern Minnesota. So it's actually going to make things probably in pretty good shape there, as long as they don't get too much, you know, in terms of slowing things down. But with modern technology, planting delays, really, if the market moves on them, turns into selling opportunities, because with our technology, we can get a lot of stuff in the ground in a big hurry. So, you know, and after this system pulls through, what temperature is supposed to warm back up. It's going to stay a little more active weather-wise in terms of some moisture. But I think we got a window here now. Producers are going to put the foot down and get going in terms of getting this crop put in.
Yeah. Like you said, planting delays don't mean much to the market anymore. Let's talk about harvest delays, though. Not here, obviously, but Brazil and Argentina are still kind of a brain scratcher for me. I'm just trying to figure out what is really going on down there.
Yeah, and again, that's some of the reasons why some of the estimates are so different, USDA versus CONAB and the private analysts down there, is, you know, they're, again, the acreage side of things in terms of how much planted areas in Brazil continues to kind of weigh out there. We're still watching harvest pace not quite getting done yet. We're in the last 20%, so we're finally wrapping that harvest up, you know, but obviously it's taking time as it, you know, some of these things are in the back, you know, backwoods, lack of logistics to move transport product around. So therefore, that information takes time to develop. Now, Argentina is just starting to roll, and we've had some issues pop up down there that have come into play in their corn crop. We've seen some pretty good adjustments to the downside in terms of that corn crop due to a leafhopper infestation causing a disease called stunt disease, and we've seen some of the analysts really drop that crop down. Now, it's still going to be a near-record crop, near 50 million metric tons, so it's going to weigh on the market compared to what they've done the last couple of years, but it might be one of those trends we have to watch if that continues to be something that limits the size of the bushels coming out of Argentina.
Hmm. Interesting. So a story that's still developing there. Speaking of stories, last week, one that we touched on, John, high-path avian influenza in the dairy industry. And obviously now with the migration patterns over us birds, for as quick as those things pop up, suddenly it's out of favor as far as headlines, huh?
Yeah, it seems to have left the national news. Obviously, there's still a talk on the ag news side of things, and you see it on the socials and social media and things of that nature. But, you know, again, some of the latest updates, we saw some herds develop that cases again out in Michigan now. I think it was three herds that showed up on the news wires yesterday. You know, again, still stressing, though, in the bigger picture of things, it's a controllable situation. The animal gets over it. The milk is not, or the meat is not tainted in any way as long, in that regard. But it's still out there. It's still growing. It's still a concern to the marketplace, but at least it feels like the market side in terms of the news cycle has moved past it at this time frame and now starting to focus on other things, obviously led by what's going on in the Middle East.
Yeah, exactly. John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live this morning. TotalFarmMarketing.com, their website. Again, the toll-free number if you want to talk to John is 800-334-9779. And you say next week you want to school me on cocoa, huh?
Hottest market out there right now because the cocoa market.
Well, that's a good tease for next week's conversation. We'll leave it at that. All right.
Sounds good. Have a great week.
All right. John Heinberg joining us live this morning again. Like he said, next week it's going to be cocoa and we'll see what he's got to say about all that. So like we said, always glad to have him along with us and he's always available to talk to you. That's 800-334-9779. TotalFarmMarketing.com. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. See you tomorrow.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower.
Well, not really, but it sounds fun.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
The impact so far for California's Proposition 12. Today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Just a little over 3 months after California's Proposition 12 went into effect, the pork industry is looking for potential relief from a new federal farm bill. National Pork Producers Council President Lori Stevermer from Easton, Minnesota.
That's what the Supreme Court said. It's an issue, and it said that Congress needs to fix it, so we're looking to Congress to fix it.
Stevermer says consumer prices for pork went up 20% in California since Prop 12 started, and fresh pork consumption there has dropped 10%. NPPC Vice President Rob Brenneman is from Washington, Iowa.
Every time we have to make a change on the farm that accommodates a certain program, it's expensive. And that expense passes right on through to the consumer. Secretary Vilsack said it best that it just keeps creating chaos, and Prop 12 has created chaos in our industry, and we need some peace.
Prop 12 was pushed by animal rights organizations and was approved by California voters. It places production facilities obligations on egg and pork producers that operate in California or that ship eggs and pork to the state. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In an announcement April 11th, heralded as a major election integrity policy proposal, former President Donald Trump and House Speaker Mike Johnson announced their intention to require proof of citizenship to vote. Spoiler alert, it's already required. Citizenship to vote is specified in the 15th Amendment, the 19th Amendment, and the Voting Rights Act of 1965. The U.S. Code Title 18 makes it a crime for non-citizens to vote in federal elections. Quote, "It shall be unlawful for any alien to vote in any election held solely or in part for the purpose of electing a candidate for the office of president, vice president, presidential elector, member of the Senate, member of the House of Representatives," unquote, and goes on to give exceptions for local elections. The penalty for violators, the code states, shall be fined under this title, imprisoned not more than 1 year, or both. The Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigrant Responsibility Act of 1996 also makes it a crime to submit false citizenship documents and specifies the U.S. code just read. In short, the announcement amounted to a misleading political stunt, suggesting voting by immigrants is a widespread voting fraud issue. It's not. The Conservative Heritage Foundation has found fewer than 50 convictions in the country over two decades, and the Cato Institute found the numbers were so small that no election could be compromised. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.